Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you and with our listeners out there in, what are we going to call it, Etherland?
Cyberland.
Cyberland, okay, very good, yes.
And a load of questions for you today.
Yeah.
First one comes from John.
Yeah.
He says, question for Uncle Bob. It seems computers love trading stocks under $10, a.k.a. swapping spit back and forth. And am I delusional or should I be avoiding trading stocks under $10?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. For those of us in Vancouver, been trading the Vancouver Stock Exchange for decades, hell, buying stock at 2.5-3 cents. So it would be simple for the company operators listed on Vancouver to rearrange the capital. You know, do a 10-for-1 rollback, and then you could have a dollar stock if you wanted. But for some reason or other, they've got enough outstanding and trading in the pennies is fun, and then if somebody has a discovery, then you can have a really fun party market. So, yeah, the under $10 doesn't really mean too much.
Question from David. Thanks, Bob, for the opportunity to ask a question. It's my understanding that $7 to $8 trillion of U.S. Treasury debt will be reaching maturity this year and needs to be rolled over. I doubt the U.S. Treasury will find buyers for this much debt. What is the chance of a U.S. debt default?
Well, let's do with the default first here. I doubt that the U.S., being the senior economy, would default. There are major political forces at work. And if the bottom falls out of the financial markets sometime this year, then this would mark a change whereby there'd be a drop in tax revenues to all levels of government. In this case, we're talking the federal government. So they're going to have less money. And then they will not be able to use inflation as a means to fund themselves, because in post-bubble contractions, you got no inflation and you got no pricing power for businesses. So it's going to change the equation where all of a sudden responsibility and probity come back. So I think that's going to happen, and I think it will then be the mark that starts to turn away from the insanity of the last few decades. Now then, why is the bond market not alarmed? Actually, until a month ago, the long-dated Treasury was in a mighty crash. I mean, it was. And our Ross, my colleague with his technical work, had tremendously oversold indicators. And the bond, I guess we got, must have got about 18 points out of the bond market. I was content at 10 points and called it a trader's buy. But anyways, so it's not so much the debt approaching maturity, it's the ability to keep refinancing it. And this could become difficult. Now, one of the things on my historical research has been that in a financial bubble, now 1929, 1873, going back, real long rates come down with the boom, and then with the contraction, real long rates, by that I mean the nominal rate of interest adjusted by the rate of inflation. And then real long rates turn up, and they're up about 3 percentage points over the last year and a half, and people are complaining about painful rising interest rates. Now, the typical increase in previous bubbles has been not just 3 percentage points, but 10 percentage points. It's your financial nightmare. Now, that's ahead of us, and it's Mother Nature's way of disciplining those who have been reckless in the credit markets. So it's going to be fascinating to watch. It's really quite a big number, and it'll be. See, I'm convinced that it'll happen. That the hit to the financial markets will be that severe. So, yeah. So no U.S. debt default, but a dreadful bond market.
Next question comes from Michael. With all the inflation created by the U.S. Treasury and the Fed, will we ever see that deflationary collapse that many of us have been waiting for over a decade now?
Yeah. Well, let's go over the pattern, Jim. You get long economic expansion. Then you go into maybe almost maybe 7 or 8 years of then soaring commodity prices, usually with a major important war and a huge high in commodity prices. So a really noteworthy one was the high in commodity prices in 1920, and then they crash, boom. And then out of that comes your great financial bubble, which was 1929, and they're about a decade, like one bubble, the commodities peaked in 1813, and the stocks peaked in 1825, so, you know, it's variable. But one, the thing is that, and then with the peak in the financial markets, stocks and bonds, you also get a sympathetic business cycle and firming up commodity prices. And then crash, the financial side goes. And then you're into a post-bubble contraction. And one of the features is chronically weak pricing power. Asset prices get marked down. And with everything being marked up, it's very hard to visualize. But I can see enough of the boom in here to think that it can fail. And a couple of recent headlines, just a minute, hang on. Oh, yeah, late January surge in jobless claims crashes to a halt. There's that one thing refusing. Consumer borrowing screeches to a halt. All of a sudden, that's changing. And then I got a price chart on used cars. That's been crashing. So, anyways, I think this will all work out, and it can be affordable. But one of the problems in a post bubble contraction is high unemployment. So while things may be affordable, many people who are out of work may not have any money. So that is possibly ahead of us.
Well, the latest job numbers, the U.S. created 375,000 jobs, roughly. That may not be the exact number. And Canada created 37,000 jobs, which would be 10% of what was created in the U.S. And statistically, yeah, the two countries are...
The U.S. jobs number was cooked.
Okay.
They lowered numbers from some months ago, so it made it look like the recent report made it look like a stronger uptrend.
So the water's sloshing around in the same basin then. And another question here from Michael. Can the Fed get inflation back to 2% without crashing the markets?
No, the Fed on its own cannot get down to 2%. It's not geared for that. The only thing the Fed can do is to try and always boost the economy or boost the markets or protect this or protect that. No. This is one of those contractions that overwhelms the Fed, and I like to note that in a harsh bear market, the power shifts from the Federal Reserve System to the margin clerk, and the margin clerks ending up having more power than the Federal Reserve. So when they get to work in a falling market, getting the accounts in line or sold out, they overwhelm central bankers. So that's probably ahead of us.
Well, now it wouldn't be the margin clerk. It would be the margin robot, I would think. And the last question here from Michael. Will life here in the U.S. and Canada ever become affordable again, or will our future look like Argentina, where in December inflation was running at 121%?
Yeah, no. We're heading for a long period of weak prices.
Our next question comes from Frank, and Frank asks Bob, in the 1930s, post-public traction gold was money as the dollar was linked to gold in a deflation. Money rises in value, so the same happened with gold. This time, the dollar is not convertible into gold. How are you convinced that the real price of gold will rise with this contraction as it is not money now?
No, gold is always money. Mm-hmm. It just changes form, that's all. Sometimes you got kilo bars of 4 9s pure gold. Others you've got coins and things. And then back in the 1920s, it was sort of a gold standard that was convertible. And all the big boom bubble worked out and followed by a severe depression. So, it's not. Gold is money, and that money can be in different forms.
Okay. Now, our next question comes from Mike. And Mike asks Bob, the yield curve has not uninverted, according to my chart. Bob, please review.
Yeah, Mike did an absolutely outstanding chart. A lot of detail. And I found it difficult to read. But it's a very simple event. Most of the time, the interest rate curve is positively sloped, like short rates are lower than long rates. But when you get into a very impetuous boom in stocks and bonds, as we have had, the demand for short-term funds raises T-bills to above longer-dated treasuries. And that, as you have short rates higher than long rates, that is called inversion. It's an inverted curve instead of a positively sloped curve. Now, the U.S. curve inverted in March 2022, I think it was. Anyways, forgive my brain on this one. But anyways, the yield curve inverted, and you note that, and then you forget about it. Now, there's another aspect of the yield curve is that if the thrust to inversion is intense, and ours was, the more intense the contraction afterwards, the more intense the inversion, the more severe the recession. So that's all one needs to know. And It did fully invert. If you go from the 2s to the 10s, I always use the 2s to the 20s. That's term 2-year to 20-year. And it did invert. And then you more or less keep it in mind as a transition point, and no point fooling around with it afterwards. So that's what we're waiting for. And these recent headlines I just mentioned, all of a sudden car sales heading south, and all of a sudden this and that. So it looks like the economy in the U.S. could be beginning to weaken.
We'll have more from Bob Hoy right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye. The first one's from Breitbart. The Fed says no to imminent rate cuts. How long are these interest rates going to stay at this level, Bob?
Oh, yeah, this is always such a game. And as a matter of fact, I'm updating an article I wrote back in 2007. This is one of the greatest blunders in the business cycle. And let's go back to 2007, September, a spokesman with one of the name firms in the States, and he said that the short rates, the Fed was about to start to cut rates, and that this would certainly help the financial markets. But you don't, if you haven't got a PhD in economics, you would just look at plain financial history. And for, well, back to Roman times if you want, short-dated interest rates go up with a boom. Short-dated interest rates go down with a bust. So the problem is, and I've collected some headlines on this one right now, is that, again, they're seeing the probability of the Fed doing cuts. Now, actually, the high for the six-month T-bill, which is an interest rate set by market, was 550 or something like that. No, 560 in August. And it's down about 40 basis points since. So market rates of interest are downtrending already. And the Fed is sitting there not adjusting. And usually at credit market cycles, the Fed follows the action in T-bills with their administered rate. So you've got this still many spokesmen and headline writers out there saying that the Fed cuts will fix things and get the markets back to going. And I've got a chart on the 3-month T-bill against the S&P in 2007 bubble boom, and not only do T-bill rates go down as the stock market goes down, but they both record the steepest plunges at the same time. So the street is completely wrong on this one. And I think that the T-bill rate can go down towards zero again. And the Federal Reserve will lower their Fed funds rate down to somewhere close to zero. And there'll be all kinds of debate on each one. And at that point, the stock market will be probably quite lower than it is now. So this is going to be fascinating to watch, Jim.
Headline from Breitbart, China's lithium producers see profits collapse as EV demand craters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the lithium got up to 600,000 in November 2022. We noted the excesses and advised the sell. And now I think it's down to 130,000. So all of a sudden, there was any amounts of lithium available. And it led any sort of slowing in electric vehicle demand. And but now you've got the demand for electric cars diminishing quite substantially. Yeah. So it was a fad, an incredibly expensive fad, and I think it's over.
Well, I think one of the things people are realizing is once you get out of a major city, there's very few charging stations.
Yeah.
And also the replacement cost of a battery. There are people who have bought a $50,000 electric car, have some kind of incident, and find out the battery replacement is $60,000, more than the car's worth.
Yeah, I've read about that. Now, the other thing about these electric vehicles is because it doesn't put any contaminants out a tailpipe, they're pure, and it's a virtue to drive them. But hey, the compounds and elements and the stuff that has to be mined to build these things, and they're very expensive to build. They're subsidized all to hell by governments, and then they run, and there's some sort of bogus figure where they tell you that these things get 300 miles per gallon equivalent of gasoline, which they don't. It's a rigged number. And then the concern I have about them is that they're just plain impractical. And this winter, with large parts of the continent in cold weather, they discovered that electric vehicles are very iffy. That's just getting to where you're going. But then they also, the lithium is a highly active element, and they blow up all on their own, or they'll blow up on a crash. And sometimes it takes a couple of days for them to burn out. So I think the electric vehicle fad is truly over. And then also in a boom, you know, people go crazy for fads. And then once the whole boom is over, the fads are suddenly discovered to be, not at all realistic, and people get away from them. So, yeah, a very interesting world we live in.
Headline, the Fed cannot cut rates as fast as markets want.
We've covered the Fed and Fed rates and T-bill rates, and so I think that we're very close to the T-bill rate seriously breaking down, and then the Fed will follow with an adjustment in their Fed rate.
Now, an analysis done by our friend Tim Cyclesman Wood showed that the inflation problem wasn't caused by an oversupply of money, which the Fed assumed, but because of supply chain problems going back to the COVID lockdowns. And he said, we're still recovering from those shortages, and that's why you still have it. Then we have droughts in Europe, which means olive oil costs a whole lot more.
Yeah, yeah.
Droughts in Africa, which means chocolate costs a whole lot more. Mm-hmm. So he said it's more of a supply chain problem, but the Fed, of course, only has one tool, and that's to hike interest rates.
Yeah, but the market was hiking the rates anyways.
Yeah.
But
well, it's the bond market, Bob.
I lay the blame for inflation upon shortages, actual shortages, briefly feared, and now there's no supply shortages. And that plus always the Fed too easy. That so once you get a commodity or a pricing system that's ready to go, if the Fed's been too easy for a few years ahead of time, it'll pop even harder. But there's nothing the Fed does that can bring the whole thing down. It'll be prices falling and a crisis in financial markets, and it will bring the Fed down. How about that one?
Well, we can always dream, Bob.
Sure. Okay.
Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you, and look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy, the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@HouseStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at House Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HouseStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.